Today, we're diving into a book that truly surprised a lot of people. It comes from an author you might not immediately peg as a philosopher-poet. We're talking Matthew McConaughey. Yes, that Matthew McConaughey and his best-selling book, Green Lights.
Right, not your typical celebrity author, maybe.
Exactly. And our mission here in this deep dive is really to get past the surface. You know, some might just see it as another celebrity book, but we want to explore where it came from, its really unique content, what made it such a, well, a cultural phenomenon.
And what specific insights it actually offers, because it clearly resonated with millions, even if the critics were a bit divided.
Definitely divided. We'll dig into that wild journey McConaughey took to write it seriously. Wild in those contrasting reactions. It's quite a story. From personal journals to global bestseller.
All right. Let's do it.
Okay, so let's unpack this first. What exactly is Green Lights? I mean, we know who wrote it, but what kind of book are we actually dealing with here?
Well, the basics first. Published October 20, 2020. Crown was the publisher.
And genre-wise, it gets listed as memoir, philosophy,
right.
Even poetry sometimes.
Yeah, it spans a few categories. But McConaughey himself, he has this much more colorful way of describing it.
Okay.
He calls it a collection of stories, prayers, poems, people and places, and a whole bunch of bumper stickers.
Bumper stickers. I like that. And it basically goes through his life chronologically, sharing stories and insights along the way.
Exactly. But what's really fascinating, I think, is how McConaughey positions it. You know, while lots of people, including the publisher, call it a memoir, he specifically called it an approach book.
An approach book. Okay. What does that distinction suggest? I mean, what's the purpose there? What did he want you, the reader, to get from it?
Well, approach book kind of hints at something more than just, here's my life story, doesn't it? It suggests maybe a guide, a philosophy.
Yeah.
A way of looking at things.
So not just recounting events, but offering a perspective.
Precisely. It implies the real value isn't just the anecdotes, but the distilled wisdom or the perspective from those events. Less, this happened to me, more, here's what I learned, maybe you can use it too.
Okay, so it's like a manual for living, but through his very specific lens.
You could see it that way. And a key part of that approach, that lens, is this whole idea of green lights, yellow lights, and red lights. That's central to the book.
Right, the title concept. Green means go, obviously.
Sure, green lights are those moments of yes, affirmation, clear path forward. But he puts a lot of thought into the yellows, the cautions, the slowdowns.
The uh-oh moments.
Yeah, and even the reds, the hard stops, the failures, the rejections. His whole philosophy isn't just about chasing the green.
It's about dealing with the other lights, too.
Exactly. Learning to interpret them, even appreciate them. Seeing yellows and reds as chances to reflect or change course or maybe just pause before a better path shows up. He really pushes you to find the value in, like, all the signals life throws at you.
That's actually a really powerful way to frame it, isn't it?
It is.
It shifts things from just, you know, passively experiencing life to actively trying to interpret it and learn, even when stuff goes wrong.
Right. So it's not just stories. It's a guide to navigating those stories, building resilience, finding purpose, even in the setbacks.
Okay, now. This is where the story behind the book gets really interesting. The creation process. It's as unconventional as McConaughey himself.
You mean the desert?
Oh, yeah. You might not believe how he wrote this. Forget fancy offices or ghostwriters. McConaughey literally exiled himself. Went out to the desert, no electricity, for 52 days.
52 days.
Just to write this book. Nearly 2 months, totally off-grid. Just him, his thoughts, and his past.
That sounds intense, like a real journey inward, cutting off all the noise.
Totally. And what was he working with out there? It wasn't just,
yeah,
you know, making stuff up. The core material for Green Lights came from diaries and journals.
Diaries he'd been keeping for years, right?
Since he was 14. Decades of stuff, raw experiences, thoughts, prayers, notes, just waiting to be, well, stilled.
That really paints a picture, doesn't it? Connecting that isolation, that deep dive into decades of personal journals. It suggests something very different from your standard celebrity book.
Yeah, not the usual tell-all.
No. It feels more like a really personal, almost primal sifting through his life, not just grabbing anecdotes, but carefully curating them, shaping them through this intense period of solitude.
It makes you wonder, how does that kind of process, being completely alone with your own history for that long, how does that affect the final book, the tone, the content? What you get as a reader.
It almost guarantees a certain kind of authenticity, doesn't it? A rawness maybe you wouldn't get otherwise.
So it wasn't just the stunt, the desert thing. It was fundamental to digging deep, finding those green lights and yellow lights he talks about in his own past.
I think you have to assume so. It speaks to a real commitment, almost spiritual maybe, to understanding his own journey first.
Before sharing it.
Exactly. That kind of isolation, it forces a certain clarity. You strip away all the external voices and you have to confront your own stories, your own lessons head on. It makes those bumper stickers, as he calls them, feel less like cheap slogans.
And more like earned wisdom.
Yeah, because they've been sort of pressure tested in that solitude.
Okay, so he goes through this intense process. Mm. Does this unique approach actually connect with people? Did it work?
Did it ever? Greenlights wasn't just a book. It became a genuine phenomenon.
Big time success.
Huge. It debuted straight at number one on the New York Times nonfiction bestseller list. That was for the week ending October 24, 2020.
Wow. Number one right out of the gate.
And it wasn't just a quick burst either. Get this. As of February 2022, it had spent 55 weeks on the list.
55 weeks. That's, yeah. That's over a year. Incredible staying power.
It really is.
Okay, so it's flying off the shelves. Everyone's buying it, but not everyone loved it, right?
The critical side was more mixed.
Mixed is putting it mildly. It was surprisingly varied, almost polarized, especially for a book that popular. Give me an example.
Well, Mark Apatakis at the Washington Post, he really did not hold back.
Oh, boy.
He called McConaughey's poetry cringeworthy, said his wisdom was unrelatable, and described the whole book as stuffed with vaporous circular proverbs for would-be McConaughey's.
Ouch. Vaporous circular proverbs. That's harsh.
It is. And it really brings up that interesting question, doesn't it, about how we react to celebrity memoirs, especially when they offer life advice.
Yeah, like what one person finds super profound.
Another person finds totally cliche or cringeworthy. It just shows how subjective insight really is and how much our own perspective shapes what we take away.
Maybe what Apatakis saw as vaporous, others found genuinely inspiring. Like, those bumper stickers resonated because they felt authentic coming from McConaughey's experience.
That could absolutely be it. That approach book idea again. Maybe simple truths. If they feel earned and shared honestly, hit differently. Like, you know, his famous just keep living line. On its own, maybe simple, but woven into his life story.
It lands differently for a lot of people.
Exactly. And it wasn't all negative from critics either. The Times of India, for instance, they praised the writing, called it conversational and easy to read.
Okay, so easier to get into.
Yeah, which probably helped its wide appeal, and they specifically pointed out the audiobook.
The audiobook. Read by McConaughey himself, right?
Yes. And they said, you know, hearing him read it with the correct inflections and even does voices makes it truly entertaining. They basically said, you have to listen to it.
I can totally see that. His voice is so distinctive.
Definitely. And even someone like Jordan Peterson, who's known for being pretty critical, he interviewed McConaughey and called the book a collection of great stories. So you've got this whole spectrum from cringeworthy to great stories.
Wow. So unrelatable proverbs on one side, great stories.
Yeah.
And this hugely popular, apparently super entertaining audiobook on the other. It's fascinating how one book can spark such different takes.
It really is.
Especially when the author is literally reading their own life philosophy to you. It sounds like his delivery, his charisma, might be a huge part of why so many people connected with it. Maybe even more than the words on the page for some.
That's a really crucial point, I think. The medium definitely matters here. Hearing McConaughey's voice, that specific cadence, the emphasis,
yeah,
it adds a whole other layer. Emotional weight, context. What looks like a simple proverb on paper might hit you as real wisdom when you hear it from the guy who lived it, especially that guy.
It turns it from just reading a book into something more like having a conversation.
Exactly. Like you're sitting down with him. And for a lot of people, that experience itself might have been the green light they were looking for.
Okay, so let's try and wrap this up. Summarizing our deep dive into green lights. What have we found? It's this really unique publishing story, isn't it?
Absolutely.
A book born from serious personal reflection, hammered out in desert isolation for 52 days, drawing on journals kept since he was a kid. Then, bam, massive commercial hit. Number one bestseller, stays on the list for over a year.
Phenomenal success.
But critically, a real mixed bag. Praised as great stories, slammed as vaporous proverbs. It's kind of all over the place.
That contrast is striking.
And maybe that approach book definition McConaughey uses is the key. A guide to life, his way, urging you to look for the green lights, but also learn from the yellows and reds.
Stepping back, I think Green Lights ends up being more than just McConaughey's story. It's almost like a case study.
How so?
A case study in how personal philosophy, told through stories with a really authentic voice, it can either hit home incredibly deeply for people or just completely miss the mark.
Depending on the listener.
Exactly. It really highlights how subjective wisdom is. What feels profound to you, like finding meaning in a yellow light, might just sound like a platitude to someone else. It shows how personal finding meaning really is and how much the person telling the story matters.
Absolutely. Which leads to maybe a final thought for you listening. If the book is all about green lights,
All right.
those moments of yes, go, move forward, what does it tell us that writing it required this major red light moment, this total stop, complete isolation out in the desert?
That's a great point. It makes you think about the unexpected ways we find clarity, doesn't it? Sometimes you need that full stop to figure out where you're actually going.
So the question maybe becomes, what kind of green light are you looking for in your own journey, your own understanding? Maybe check out Green Lights, the book, or perhaps especially the audiobook, and see what your own take
You
is.
see how McConaughey's approach lands for you.
Definitely something to think about. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.